Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Tuesday, December 24th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And welp, we're about, at this point, I don't know, 36 hours from that loss in Washington. And I got to be honest, on Monday, and then, you know, thinking about it, like, man, really is a frustrating loss. It definitely is one where you can write it off as didn't mean a ton, not a lot of big picture concerns from it, but it is a loss, and it does basically end their chance of the one seed. It does mean they'll have to win four games to win the Super Bowl as opposed to three. It does mean they definitely, or I should say likely, will be going to Detroit for the NFC Championship game, and I think they can win that, but to lose a game where you really did have it, the five turnovers, the 33 points, like fourth and 11 they had them in, there was just, they had the ball with 2 minutes and 50 seconds to go. There was just so many opportunities to win that game, and to lose it, like, it's a frustrating loss, and me and James talked about it on the post-game pod. Like, they have three losses this year, and you could argue none of them, like, their full team was legitimately beat. The Saquon drop against Atlanta, the Devontae drop against Washington, not having anybody against Tampa. But that's how the season goes, and as a reality of that, the one seed comes to an end. So, we are going to have a lot to get into today. I did get a chance to rewatch the game on Monday, so I got a bunch to say about how Kenny Pickett played, some of his strengths, some of his weaknesses, and how I think they could operate if he does have to play again this week or at some point in the future. But before we do that, let's start this podcast off where we always start the daily podcast off with, and that is what's on the schedule for today. So definitely a bit of a different week, first of all. Happy Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas Eve, I guess I should say, if you celebrate. Very exciting day. I hope you all enjoy your Christmas Eve night. I think sometimes Christmas Eve is better than Christmas. And man, Christmas got here quick this year. But I hope everybody enjoys their Christmas Eve. Today and this week, the schedule is going to be a little bit different. Today, on Tuesday, we're going to get locker room, and like I think we're going to hear from some players, but I would expect most of the media availability, most of the players, the press conferences, the coaches to take place on Thursday and Friday. So definitely a bit of a different week, and you know, we'll talk about it in a minute, but a rough week to have a different week when you consider they could potentially be playing with a new quarterback on Sunday. Likely, I think it'll be Jalen Hurts. The game, I mean, the line has jumped up to, I think around 10.5 on the Bet Parks Casino. So obviously they think that Jalen Hurts is playing, and I think Jalen Hurts is playing, but a weird week for practice if it were going to have to be Kenny or even Tanner McKee, which we'll talk about now with the injury report. So after the game, we talked about obviously Jalen and the concussion. Nick Sirianni talked on Monday and confirmed that he is in the concussion protocol. Now it's kind of up to the team doctors and the protocol. You know, I'm sure the Eagles will try to get Jalen through it, and I think that Jalen will play. Again, the line jumping up 3 points is probably an indication that he will. But what we didn't talk about was that Kenny Pickett said that he's had x-rays on his ribs and that he had further testing today on Monday. Now, well, I should say, if you're listening to this on a Tuesday, it was yesterday on Monday. I will say that Kenny said after the game on Sunday that he expects to be fine and to be able to play on Sunday. Nick Sirianni didn't have an update on what those tests were. So I would expect it to be Kenny Pickett to play. But it is an interesting twist to this. Like, Tanner McKee is probably the closest he's ever come to being in a game. When you consider Jalen with dealing with the concussion, Kenny dealing with some type of rib injury. Tanner, you know, will be the emergency quarterback. Excuse me, will be the emergency quarterback on Sunday. So we'll talk about Tanner in a second. So let's get into what Nick had to say on Monday. And we'll start with kind of what we're talking about right now, which is him talking about Hurts during the week, potentially playing the last game, how they're going to deal with the schedule. So here's some back and forth with Nick and a reporter about whether Hurts could play this week if he doesn't get a lot of reps. And then also if he wants to get Hurts some action before the playoffs.
Hey, good afternoon, Nick. Understanding the concussion protocol is out of your hands and in the medical staff's hands. The players who are cleared in 1 week span, it's typically not until the end of the week. Would Jalen be able to play if he doesn't participate in practice?
Yeah, each and every week is a different scenario. What I've seen is Jalen knows how to prepare, knows how to get himself ready. He is a true pro who, like I've said, I just can't say enough good things about Jalen, the player, Jalen, the leader, Jalen, the person. Every week's a little bit different, and I know Jalen does everything he can to get ready for each and every week.
You know, it's an interesting component to all this that if Jalen doesn't play this week, and again, I think he will, but if Jalen doesn't play this week, there's a real chance that week 18 game means nothing. Although I will say my new favorite take is, or like thought, whatever, is if they win this week, they win the division, they're locked into the 2 seed. There's a real incentive for them to lose to the Giants in week 18, hurt the Giants' chance at the number 1 pick. I mean, it's a difference between having a great quarterback in the division for years to come and not. So interesting component to that final game. But my expectation is Jalen probably won't practice much this week. He will likely prepare, you know, obviously watch all the game tape, get used to the game plan that's coming up. And then I think he'll play on Sunday despite not practicing much. But whether he plays in week 18 is interesting if he doesn't play this week. If he were to not play this week, I think there is a chance that they put him out there, even if it's just for a half, in what is likely going to be a meaningless week 18. Because I don't think you want him to go 2 weeks before that playoff game without playing, especially with how they start slow anyway. I just don't really think that's something they would want to do. I mean, you saw it, I know in 2022, he needed to play in that game. But you saw in 2022 that they put him in there after missing 2 weeks in the build up to the playoffs. And obviously, they had the bye week, so it's a little bit of a different scenario. But yeah, I would expect to see Hurts out there on Sunday. At the very least, if he's not, I would expect him to be out there in week 18. So another component to this is they have to game plan, right? Like, they have to build how they think they want to attack this Cowboys team, a Cowboys team that's like quietly playing pretty good football over the past 5 or 6 weeks. Now, the positive side for that is that Mike McCarthy is likely to going to come back. I think Mike McCarthy, as he's showing right now, is a better head coach than he's given credit for, but he is definitely a head coach that wins 10 or 11 regular season games and then doesn't do much in the playoffs. So it's probably a positive for the Eagles if Mike McCarthy is brought back. But regardless, it's a good Cowboys team. So Sirianni was asked about the difficulty of kind of game planning with potentially 2 different quarterbacks. You could even argue 3 if you want to throw Tanner McKee in there. And here's what Nick had to say.
Hey, Nick, how do you go about game planning on offense this week without knowing who the quarterback's going to be? Do you almost have to have like 2 game plans ready?
There's different approaches that we take. you know, with that. You know, it depends on the skill set of guys and the different skill sets. And, you know, sometimes it's to give the player the things that he operates well at. Sometimes it's, you know, what you're going against the defense. So there's not, you obviously, just like you would when a wide receiver's out of the game or a defensive back's out of the game, you adjust, and this is no different. You adjust. There's a lot of similarities. There's little differences. But there are differences. But it's just something that you adjust to. And this is the, you know, of the NFL. We've had a lot of experience doing this, and that includes the quarterback.
If I could follow up real quick, the quarterback obviously is a little different though than a receiver. Like, how much does that change?
As far as, like I said to you, like what I'm saying is every position require what's bigger or what's smaller of an adjustment, right? You guys can debate that. But what I'm saying is every position that you are without a guy that's normally playing, there's an adjustment to be made. And quarterback's no different. So there'll be an adjustment that we have to go through. I'm not going to sit here and say this is how much adjustment this is, but every time that there's a player out, there is an adjustment to be made.
I think the interesting part about the game planning is just kind of how different all three quarterbacks are. Jalen obviously has things he likes. Kenny has things he likes. And Tanner McKee has never played in the NFL and is extremely unmobile compared to Kenny and Jalen. So I definitely think it's probably tough, you know. At this point, there's a chance both of them play anyway, you know, like there's a real world where they're up big or whatever. Like, they're probably just going to have a few game plans ready, one for Jalen, one for Kenny, work on the plays that Kenny likes in practice, since Jalen likely isn't going to be practicing, I would think. And then when it comes to Jalen, if he does play, then you run the plays he's comfortable with, run the plays they've ran well this year. You know, so it's probably not as much of a Dallas Cowboys specific game plan. It's probably more of, okay, like, here are some general areas we feel like we can attack, but here are some plays we know we can run with Jalen at a high level, and here are some plays we know we can run with Kenny. So, interesting week for the coaching staff, for sure. And the Christmas of this all, you know, it was funny, when Thanksgiving was happening, Nick kind of jokingly deferred to it a bit as a distraction, just how, like, you know, you still want to focus on the game. This is kind of the similar thing. Now, I'm sure Nick loves Christmas. He strikes me as a big Christmas guy. But I'm sure that, you know, it's not the best week to have this be happening with all the injuries. So we will see how they end up doing it. But big week for the coaching staff, for sure. Finally, Nick talked about the CJGJ ejection, but also on a broader scale, like just the emotion him and Jalen Carter showed in that game. And here's what he had to say.
Hey, Nick, did you get any further explanation as to why Gardner Johnson was ejected in that game? And on a larger point, when it comes to guys like him and Jalen Carter, who obviously play with a lot of fire, do you accept that there's going to be things like that that come along with that style of play?
No further explanation there. Again, I'll always keep my conversations with the league to us in the league, but no, I haven't had any further conversations there. You never want to have penalties like that. Again, I always encourage our guys to, you know, be themselves, have fun when you're celebrating, you know, play how you play, but do it within the confines of the rules. And that's something I say to our guys all the time. And that's the same message here. Obviously you don't want those situations. I love how much energy and fire those guys play with, but obviously, at no point do you want them to get a penalty, or is it acceptable to get a penalty? But again, like I said, you want there's a reason we have, you know, we have edge on defense, is we have really good players who, you know, play with great passion and great fire, like, you know, and that's huge. We just always got to understand and know to do it within the confines of the rules.
You know, the emotion from the defensive players is a really interesting thing. On one hand, it's obviously a super big positive. Like, we've talked so much on this pod this season about the emotion of the defense, the toughness they have, and all those things. But the flip side of that is, I think teams think they can get under their skin. And I think the Washington probably came into that game thinking, we know if we push them a little bit, they'll push back and they'll lose their cool. So you know, there's been a lot of discussion about if Nick's going to be emotional, how can he tell players not to be emotional? And I don't really subscribe to that. I do think players like Nick and respect Nick, so I don't think they view it that way. But, you know, they like your team often reflects the head coach, right? And I do think that this team at times like can get a little, like, I'm trying to think of the best way to phrase it. They can get a little reckless with the emotion. We see it, like, put Jalen Carter pushing the offensive line, and Milton Williams pushing the quarterback. Chauncey saying whatever he said, who knows, but chirping enough that the ref felt he had to go. It's not a positive thing when it crosses that line. So I definitely think it's something the team has to work on. It's something you hope doesn't come up and hurt them come playoff time. But yeah, I think that Nick throughout his career has been very good at fixing problems, especially in season. So I'd be surprised if it hurt him again, but it's definitely something to monitor moving forward. So on the other side, like I said, I took a big rewatch of the Kenny Pickett game. And I got a lot of thoughts on Kenny, how he did, again, strengths, negatives, what he was good at, and how I think they could win with him if he was in there. So that is the other side. But first, a word from our
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Deck your home with Blinds.com. DIY or let us install. Free design consultation. Plus free samples and free shipping.
Free. Ho, ho, ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high-quality window treatments with no showroom mock-ups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Deck your home this holiday season with Blinds.com. Save up to 40% on select styles, plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com.
Blinds.com.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sponsors. Okay, so let's get into the Kenny Pickett rewatch report card. And I'll be honest, I was excited to rewatch this game. I'm always excited to rewatch the game on Monday. But, you know, after watching Jalen 15, 16 weeks in a row, which is fun and exciting and always good to watch, Jalen. It was kind of fun to look at what this team looked like with another quarterback and just watch how Kenny Pickett played. I haven't seen him play since training camp. Didn't have the best training camp. I don't think he was as bad as people made it out to be, which is going to be a theme for this game as well. But yeah, I actually came away more impressed with Kenny Pickett on the rewatch than I did watching it live. I saw a lot of reaction to his game with, you know, he didn't play well. Hopefully he never plays again. Don't want to see Kenny. Like, I didn't feel that way at all watching him on the rewatch. Now, I'll preface all this by saying, obviously, Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback than Kenny Pickett. He's just a better quarterback, full stop. That's why Jalen is probably one of the top 10-ish quarterbacks in the NFL, and Kenny Pickett is a backup right now. But I think when you rewatch Kenny and you view him through some combination of like as a backup and then also if he had to start, I came away thinking this Eagles team would be okay if he had to play a few more games. So just to be clear, like I said, I do think you view this as he came in the game cold, didn't get any reps with the starters all week, and hasn't played any meaningful snaps all season. So I thought some of his mistakes were probably the result of that. And I think because of all that, if he were to play again, he would play even better. So let's dive into some of my thoughts. I'll go through a few plays in the game of his that I thought stood out. So the first play I thought kind of set the tone for the day. So unfortunately, Jalen has to leave the game due to a concussion. Kenny Pickett steps into the game. It's 3rd and 7. They're in the red zone. I thought it was surprising off the jump that Nick called a pass play there. I know that it's 3rd and 7, but he just came into the game. Maybe you run it with Saquon, get a few yards, and you either kick a field goal to go up 10-0, or maybe, you know, then at that point he's already run a play, then you throw it. But he went right to throwing it, and it was a theme for the day. Like, Nick showed some confidence in Kenny throughout the game in some of the fourth downs he went for, but just in the fact that he did call passing plays and go for it on big downs with Kenny out there. So first play, 3rd and 7. One thing I noticed a lot about Kenny when he plays is he really does throw with anticipation. If you look at that 3rd and 7 play, the first pass of the game, he throws it before AJ Brown's back, before he's even turned. Like, Jalen has a lot of strengths as a quarterback. Jalen doesn't often throw the ball where the guy's back is still facing him. Jalen's much more of a, like, see it open and then throw it guy. I thought Kenny in his first start, considering he hasn't taken many reps with AJ and Devontae, really did trust them to be in the right spot. There were a lot of anticipation throws. So first throw, he steps in the game, 3rd and 7. And by the way, I have a lot of these clips on my Twitter if you want to go and watch them. But 3rd and 7, completion for a first down, really good start to the game. So then the next attempt, I believe the next pass he attempts, or at least it was either second or third one, was the touchdown. And it's kind of funny. So the play they ran, and we talked about this a lot after the Carolina game, where obviously AJ said the passing game wasn't playing well enough. The play they ran was very similar, at least on the side where AJ and Devontae was. AJ and Devontae are lined up next to each other. AJ runs a crossing route to the middle of the defense. Devontae runs a crossing route from the slot to the corner of the end zone. It kind of freezes up AJ's defender a little. It gets AJ open. Boom, Kenny Pickett hits him for a touchdown. Against Carolina, they ran that play twice, and Jalen didn't get it to AJ either time. And I think that was probably some of the reason AJ felt some frustration. So certainly Kenny Pickett came in and was willing to throw it to AJ. But I thought, like, converting that play was a really also good kind of tone setter for the day. So now let's talk about the interception, because it comes, you know, I think on his next pass attempt or, you know, the next possession that they have the ball. So to me, the interception was the difference on Sunday in having either Kenny Pickett or Jalen Hurts. So I think that the Eagles probably score a touchdown on the drive where Jalen's in the game, where he gets knocked out. I think they're probably up 14-0 with Jalen in the game as well. The difference is this interception, I don't think Jalen throws it. So Kenny Pickett drops back. You can see Frankie Louvu is like kind of in between AJ and Grant Calcaterra. Kenny said after the game, and it's obvious watching it as well, that's what he thought, that Frankie Louvu was going to stay with Grant Calcaterra because he does step with him for 2 or 3 steps, but then he comes off of him and goes to AJ. So my guess is Frankie's reading his eyes. He sees Kenny looking at AJ, or at least that's where he wants to go with the ball. And so it was a good play by Frankie Louvu. That being said, it is not a pass I think Jalen Hurts would make. I don't think that's an interception in that spot. So that's a big thing for Sunday. Like, that's a big part of the game on Sunday specifically. Now, big picture, the rest of the game, I thought he did a good job taking care of the ball through the passing game. He did have some fumbles where I didn't think he felt the pressure coming, and as a result, the ball was fumbled. But I thought Kenny did a pretty good job taking care of the ball through the air. So the hope would be is that this was like his fifth meaningful snap of the season. He's rusty. He hasn't played. He's off the bench, and it's just a mistake he won't make if he has to play again. And, you know, he probably won't, knock on wood, have to play again. But I think that next time, I'd be surprised to see him make such a clear and obvious bad interception. So I thought the turnover was obviously bad and the difference, frankly, between winning and losing on Sunday. But I don't think it's something that Kenny Pickett would do a lot based off the rest of the game. Another positive I noticed with Kenny, and it was really on one play, you can see both the positive and negative with Kenny Pickett's game. It was still in the first quarter, I believe, maybe the beginning of the second. Kenny Pickett throws the ball down the field to AJ Brown. And AJ draws defensive pass interference, which was really a theme for the day. He caught a lot. He got Lattimore for a lot of defensive pass interferences. But I thought this play showed a positive and a negative with Kenny. The positive is he's definitely willing to throw the ball to AJ, even in tight coverage, even with the safety kind of leaning over the top. He is going to throw the ball to AJ. That just was very clear with once he came in, the ball went to AJ quite a bit. The negative is he just doesn't have the deep arm that Jalen has. Like, AJ's open. He has kind of a full step on Lattimore, and Lattimore does catch up to him, but that's because AJ has to slow down and turn because the ball is underthrown. So I didn't think that was a good throw by Kenny. I thought that if it was Jalen or, you know, any of the other like top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL, it's probably a touchdown, or at least AJ catches it and has a chance to run past the safety for a touchdown potentially. But I thought the positive there, he's willing to throw it to AJ and take chances. The negative is for the passing game being down the field, such a big part of this Eagles offense, I think they would struggle to do that consistently with Kenny, especially as it keeps getting colder and it's harder to throw the ball down the field. One thing that really stood out watching Kenny throughout the game was he just doesn't really have great ball placement. I think he throws with anticipation and he can be accurate, but there were four or five plays where I just thought where he put the ball really resulted in an incompletion. And it's something we saw a lot with Carson Wentz. And it's really something we don't see a lot with Jalen. Like, Jalen really puts the ball in a catchable, like, nice place for the receivers. There was a third down play in this game where AJ Brown is open. He's crossing over the middle of the field. Kenny sees him. He gets the ball to him, but because he throws it like to AJ's right shoulder instead of leaning him to the left, or leading him, I should say, to the left, AJ has to like put his hands up and back for the ball, and the defender's able to knock it down. So I thought ball placement was an issue with Kenny kind of throughout the game. We'll talk about on that final drop with Devontae too. But the other thing that stood out to me with Kenny Pickett was he did make big plays on third down. There was a third down play where Kenny's in the pocket. He has two defenders coming right at him, and he still throws the ball over the middle of the field. And what's really interesting to me about where he threw the ball and the fact that he threw it was when he throws the ball, like when he makes the decision to throw the ball, AJ has not really started cutting to the middle of the field yet, and there's a linebacker in front of AJ and the corner behind AJ. So he really throws with anticipation, trusting that AJ is going to get over the middle of the field. And while the pass isn't completed, it was a defensive pass interference for the first down. So his willingness to throw with anticipation and like get rid of the ball before a guy is clearly open, I thought was a very positive sign. And I do think it helped the passing game for sure. Speaking of third downs, he made another really nice play on a third down where there's a little bit of pressure in the pocket. He probably didn't have to empty the pocket, but he did. He keeps his eyes down the field. He finds Devontae for a first down. Just thought it was kind of time and time again. There were a few third downs. There were two fourth downs where he made big time throws to keep the drive alive. I talked earlier about how I don't think he did a good job feeling pressure in the pocket. There was a third down play in the red zone where he takes a sack for 11-yard loss. So obviously they end up kicking the field goal. You know, I think that when you watch the play, it looked like there was either a mix up on the offensive line, or B, Kenny didn't set the protection right because somebody comes free right at him, and he just He doesn't see him coming, or he sees it too late and he's unable to move, and he takes an 11-yard loss. Like, I don't think Jalen takes an 11-yard loss there. So I did think a consistent thing throughout was Kenny maybe not doing the best at recognizing pressure, and a lot of plays that Jalen turns into first downs from sacks turned into sacks with Kenny, or at least really kind of wreck the play. A really noteworthy play to me, which really spoke to how much Sirianni and Kellen Moore trusted Kenny, was late in the game. It's fourth down in his own territory. Fourth quarter, they're down 28-27 at this point. Keep in mind now, again, he's come off the bench. He's cold. He hasn't played all week. And by cold, I mean, he's probably literally cold, but also he just hasn't played all season. And it's a road game, somewhat hostile environment, although obviously a lot of Eagles fans there. And he gets the first down on fourth and two to Devontae. Not the toughest throw in the world, but again, like, he throws it when Devontae is like still kind of cutting to the sideline. So I thought the anticipation that he showed on these passes really, really helped him. So the Saquon drop. Watching it live, first I thought it was a completion, and then obviously it was not. I thought watching it live, the ball placement could have been better, and I think rewatching it, it definitely could have. Now, Kenny Pickett is hit as he throws, so I think that does, or at least right after he throws, I think the pressure impacts the throw. It's probably a perfect example of the difference between grading a backup quarterback and grading a starting quarterback. If Jalen underthrows this ball to Saquon and makes Saquon have to turn around to get it, I'm probably, and I think fairly, saying this has to be a better ball. You have to put it somewhere where Saquon doesn't have to turn around as like he's trying to catch it. But with Kenny and being a backup, I think you look at it and go, he got the ball there. He had pressure in his face. It hit Saquon like pretty much in between the two and the six once Saquon had turned around. And it's a catch Saquon has to make. It's absolutely a catch Saquon has to make. Another noteworthy play, it was third down in the fourth quarter. The Eagles were still trailing 28-27. I think this was after the Saquon drop. Again, just like ball placement. And that is one thing that really, really separates. Well, one thing I've learned from covering the NFL or covering the Eagles as long as I have is every single player in that locker room is super talented. And every single player in that locker room can make plays that 99.9% of humans cannot. The difference is guys like AJ Brown make the plays consistently, and receivers on the practice squad just aren't consistent. They could probably make some of the highlight plays that AJ makes, but what separates them is their ability to do it consistently. And Kenny had a play where he had made nice throws throughout the game, like he had made this exact throw throughout the game, but AJ, he's open on a comeback route. Kenny throws it to him and he just sails it on third and seven. Like, the consistent accuracy and the ball placement, I think, is definitely an issue for Kenny. More so the ball placement than the consistent accuracy, but just that's a throw he absolutely has to make. Now, to speak to how like any player can make any play in the NFL on any given down, the next play on fourth and seven, first of all, Sirianni goes for it again. Like, ballsy decision to go for it on fourth and seven with your backup still basically, or, you know, is in enemy, or is in the Eagles territory. I was going to say enemy for Washington, to be clear, not the Eagles. But Nick goes for it. And so it's fourth and seven. Kenny has a little bit of pressure. He rolls out. He hits AJ Brown. AJ Brown does an awesome job making the defender miss to kind of get curl around him and then get up the field for the first down. But really, really nice play by Kenny to do it. So now there's the final play where he throws the ball to Devontae. And again, this is a difference, I think, between Jalen and Kenny. So Kenny's in the pocket. Devontae, obviously, I'm sure you all have either watched it a billion times or it's burned in your brain from watching it the first time and you haven't been able to watch it again. Devontae is open over the middle field. There is not a defender within 3 yards of him over top. Excuse me, over top, over the middle, to the side. Like, he's open. He is open. Kenny just has to get him the ball. And Kenny does get him the ball. And he should absolutely have caught the ball. But, and like, you guys can tell me if you think this is nitpicking, but I truly think where he places the ball is why the pass is dropped partially. Like, there's all the space in the world. Put it in Devontae's chest. Put it so he can take the ball in. Put it so he reaches his arms out and it's not at his face and he doesn't have to see it come, like, right at his face and catch it there. He can see it with his eyes clear and bring it in over the middle. Like, make it so he can keep going in stride. Even if he caught that, I think it would have been hard for him to keep going. I just didn't think it was a great ball placement by Kenny on that one. Still should have been caught. All those things are true. But, like, that would be an example of, I think, the difference between Kenny and Jalen. Jalen has thrown that ball to Devontae a billion times. Jalen throws a very catchable ball. It's why, I mean, what other game this year have we talked about drops? Like, there was the Saquon drop, obviously, but that was a well-placed ball. I thought the ball placement had a little bit to do with the drops that the Eagles dealt with and really cost them on Sunday. So overall, I left the rewatch of the Kenny Pickett game feeling like, A, they could definitely move the ball through the air with Kenny. It would look different. It would be a lot more like quick passes, timing routes, those type of things. But I think they can move the ball with Kenny. The running game, you know, to be honest, like rewatching, I definitely think not having Jalen impacted it. I'll be completely honest and say, like, I'd have to rewatch it and more look more specifically at the how like they were collapsing on Saquon versus Kenny. I'm more focused on the passing Kenny Pickett plays and some of the running plays. But I think if Kenny had to play again, like the major differences would be A, you can't turn the ball over the way he did. The interception was really bad. The one fumble was really bad where, you know, he just doesn't feel the guy coming at all over from the backside. He knocks it out of his hand and it's a fumble. And then there was the reckless play. But if he can cut down the turnovers and if those are things that were rust, I really think they could win with Kenny Pickett. Clearly they have a better chance with Jalen. He's a way better quarterback. But I think Kenny Pickett was impressive. And I would disagree with anyone that watched that game and felt he was like the reason they lost. I think both can be true. They win that game with Jalen, but Kenny wasn't why they lost. Like, that's definitely what I left the game feeling. And I don't think Kenny will play versus the Cowboys. I don't. I think Jalen will play. But Kenny could play again this year. And if he does, I think those reps he got yesterday, what he showed, getting the coaching staff a chance to call a game with him, I think he'd be even better in his second game. So that's the Kenny Pickett rewatch report card. Thank you guys so much for listening. I super appreciate it. You know I love you all. I hope you're all enjoying your Christmas week. It's crazy. It's Christmas Eve already. I know I got a big day planned. I hope you guys all do as well. So love you all. As always, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.